Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, everyone. Boker Tov, good morning. This morning, first I want to say that I'm doing this morning, this broadcast without video, just with audio, and I'll explain that a little later. Welcome to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. In between the drops where the glaciers melt, flooding our doorsteps, our footsteps dance. In between our breath that caresses our inhales, reliving joy after the silence of noise, seeing you through clear eyes, clear heart. In between the words that need warmth uttering, giving life to our intentions, our shadows brightens. In between the questions of why and how, we move closer, nearer, removing obstacles and illuminating way with a wave of your hand. The light through the blinds is caressing our faces as one, hugging close, and a kiss is only a breath away. We'll arrive, or have we already? And after the burning flame calms and ceases to exist, and the remains are charred from an expected fall, you still stand tall, bright from within the ashes, still seeing the light within, not without. And when the noise subsides, remains only what is. Only the essence of love.
Ve'ulai nilmad levater ולתת יותר עד שתיוותר רק אהבתנו יום יום וליל כל הזמן בנתיב אחד לא מסומן יום יום וליל כל הזמן יחד
Welcome, shalom, I'm Ilan Azulay, this is Abracadabra, create what you speak. Welcome, what a day, we're here, I'm here with you. Not on a video, only on audio. It turns out like it is a reminder. Hareini mekabel al atzmi et mitzvat aseh shel ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, hereby accept on myself the utterance of the two commandments of love your neighbor, your friend, or express love to your neighbor, your friend, in the same way that you express love to yourself, in the same way that you express love to yourself. And how do we express love to ourselves? How do you express love to yourself? This is the first focus is about expressing love to ourselves. And then when in connection, when in co-creation, each one brings the unfiltered, the raw feelings into everything. Just like the song that I started with. Started with a song of Mati Kaspi and the Ud Manor, was Covenant of Love. And yesterday, Mati Kaspi celebrated 70, and Mazal Tov, and thank you for all these wonderful years of music and shaping Israeli music history. And so, like in the song is really talking about removing the noise, removing the noise that hinders us from seeing clearly. It's like driving and there is a fog, and you know, there are distractions and noise that comes in between your goal to be with yourself, your goal to love with yourself, your goal to love with another person. And when we remove all these, and in relationships or in potentials or in connections, it's the noise, it's these arguments, it's these judgments that come from places of fear, that come from places of this satisfaction with oneself. And when we remove that, it's a process, it's not an overnight thing. We go through that on a daily basis, and hopefully we evolve out of this. So when we remove that, we remain with the net, the netto, the essence, the love, the essence, the coming from a place of love and caring. That's the only thing that remains at the end. And so love to ourselves first, and then we can express love to another person. But does that mean that if we are in a constant place of searching for love for ourselves, we can't express love to another? Well, we can. We can in the form of wishing the best and wanting for the other person all the greatness and all the wonderfulness that you wish for you, that we wish for ourselves. And when we are in this action mode, although it is not an actual physical action, moving, doing something, but wishing, creating this energy, our words, the power of our words, the power of the utterance of the words, especially in the Hebrew language, the utterance of the words, each letter is a divine channel of gifts, of energy. And depends how we use that. So we can use it both directions. We can use it for the positivity. We can use it in for the other side of positivity. So we choose how to use that. So when we wish for the other person, really a truthful, a joyous blessing for something that the other person is going through, then we're actually doing something, because we are creating waves of energy. We are creating a ripple effect. And when we are in that place of this creating this good vibes ripple effect, guess what happens? It comes right back. It comes right back for us, to us. It is not the intention to do that from this place, but the intention of giving, the intention of being in that space of how can I do something better? How can I, what would make you feel better? You know, those are things that are opening a channel of communication in a way that is not confrontational or defensive. It opens a channel, because it is in the intention of how we say what we say. It is in the intention of how we express what we choose to express from us. And so when we wish for the other person the best, when we wish for the other person to have the good things and good feelings that we are having, and good choices and blessings, we are expressing love to the other person. And also when another person is going through a hard time, what are the opportunities that we can see for the other person? How can we be there for the other person? What does that person need? And then so, ואהבת לרעך כמוך, it is that which we wish for ourselves, we wish for the others. And so, thank you for being here. This is, I haven't been broadcasting alone for a while, and I feel that that this was a reminder, kind of a reminder, a reminder to remember of coming back to ourselves, coming back to myself, coming back to the within, the inside. And I came back from Israel. I was there several weeks. My father passed away, and it was a time of interestingly enough, quite disconnecting. And it was disconnecting because it was a different world. It is somewhat a different world than where how I live now, and there is the pool. And frankly, I don't know why I'm talking about this now, but I feel it ties to what I wanted to share with you. But I wanted to share this with you because it is a reminder for me to go also within. So I feel that sharing this with you who are here, and there is a reason that we are all here and that we are all connecting, and in this moment or this particular moment in time and in this fashion. And so I hope this is a some kind of a something. And it was this kind of time of a disconnect. And coming back to LA is really a time of kind of landing back in, you know, like when you travel for a while and you go places and then you come back. It takes a while to readjust physically, mentally, everything. It is the jet lag physically and otherwise too. I just want to give you the phone number here in case you want to share something or you want to ask something. It's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, and on Skype it's LA Talk Radio. So the disconnect, and this is it touches actually about it touches what I wanted to share with you. And this past week was really kind of a reminder to go back in and to recognize those places and to see that sometimes there is this place where when we are in a junction, and sometimes we want to avoid a certain situations, or we are in a tight spot, and it can happen in different aspects of life, the one I'm talking about. But if you're going through a separation, you're going through a divorce, you're going through a junction where you have to make a tough choice, where you have to make a choice. Tough is the addition that we make of it, but you have to make a choice that is not really what you want to do, but sometimes you find yourself that you are giving more than you would otherwise give, and you find yourself that you are subtracting from yourself. You are giving pieces of your truth away because you want to preserve a certain situation. And it creates also a disconnect. So when in a situation like this where we feel that we have to give, so sometimes we give and we are submissive and we are allowing the story of somebody else or a different situation, an external situation, to overtake. And to do that, sometimes we have to disconnect automatically. It's like a default thing. And then the work is to reconnect. The work is to reconnect back, to remember that which we come from, to remember that who we are, to remember that what lightens us and what ignites us, and to remember the true place of that. And so we're in a constant evolution, we're in a constant transmutation. And so we disconnect. And it's easier to operate that way. It's easier to operate that way, granted. Because we're not attaching these places, these emotional places, or the places that are taking us to self-questioning or doubt or victimization. And when we disconnect, we are in the element. Oddly enough. There is a... I remember when I went to Israel in June again. I remember that as my father was going through the final stages, he was still... I remember how this was a time that I recognized certain things that were coming up that I realized after a little while that they were coming up and they were really not valid because they didn't fit anything that I am today. It didn't fit anything. None of these thoughts, emotional drag after these thoughts, none of these were still relevant. It's like listening to a last piece of news from 1989, and that's the last piece of news that you hear, and it is 2019, and you say, oh well, okay, let's see how we changed. Okay, this is what I remember, so probably this is what still is happening. And it is not. And it was the disconnect from that story. It was the disconnect from the emotions that came through that story. So by holding on to that story, I saw a person who was a different person. And so when I was still in it, the emotions would follow these thoughts. And this is the point in when I say our thoughts, our words, our thoughts are creating also the emotions that are going with these thoughts. So if we think of somebody, of something, without knowing that person, then you create... I mean, and that happens in every day. We go and we see and look at people and we judge. And we may think of somebody as something and the person is not. It is a more complex situation when there is, when there is a familial situation with a family or somebody that you know, and you think something of that person and then the person is not, and you see that, wow, you know, I thought of that person, something like that, and that person was not, or shifted or changed, or because we do work on changing. And not everybody will change and shift in the rate and in the pace that we want to. That's, by the way, why many times people get frustrated. When you expect something to happen, when you expect that person to shift or to change. And you meet somebody. And you don't like one or two or three or four or whatever, something in that person. There's always going to be something if you look for it. And you go into a relationship and you say, oh, well, that person probably will change. We'll work on that. He'll change or she'll change. She'll shift or he'll shift. You know, and that is a recipe for disaster. Seriously, it is a recipe for a disaster when you go into something and relying on something will change that will eventually fit what you want to fit it into. And so, I'm finding new spots in this microphone every time. So when we go into these places, it is already a recipe for a disaster. And so disconnecting from these stories, back to the disconnect, disconnecting from these stories, disconnecting from the stories that you were taught, stories that you've experienced, assumptions about somebody that you thought you knew about somebody that turned out to be, or before they even turn out, is it really wise to keep them? What good do they do aside from creating whatever it is creating there? And I'm not talking about good things. It is creating something that is not good. And so, disconnecting from these stories allows the full attention in what is in front of us. Allows the full attention when we disconnect from what is not here and when we are here. So, this helped me personally in being there of service for my dad. In being there of service in for a person whom I've always seen as a rock solid thing, a rock solid presence. And it's interesting, I just realized I said a rock solid thing. It's interesting that the first thing that I said was a thing. And that's something that I will remember and process, see where and why and how. To shift. And maybe that is where the disconnect is coming from. You see, so when we discover things, you know, I'm talking with you. Well, it's actually a monologue but I feel different spikes of energies that are coming through. So I'm sitting here and I can feel certain things that are coming through, and as I'm talking, I can feel certain things are shifting about certain things that I that I say or that I or that is coming down at. And so the disconnect was served a place where I could be completely attentive in a situation like this, in a situation like where you need to disconnect it, some of you may have experienced that when there is a crisis or there is something that is happening, some of you are those who put everything aside and just focus on how to care and how to do, how to be a practical, with a practical approach to assist and to help, and whether it is in a medical situation, a physical, physically medical, and others in mental situations or in hard spiritual situations. So you drop everything and you are there for that person. And sometimes it is needed. When you do it consciously, it is the ultimate. When you do it consciously for the positive outcome. And sometimes when we disconnect in a different phase, it comes from a place of fear. It comes from a place of fear where you disconnect and you miss yourself. And you miss yourself. And you miss the gifts that you have. And you miss seeing the gifts that you have because you were afraid to do one thing, so you allowed something to happen that wasn't good for you, that was oppressive to you. And you allowed certain things to happen and you didn't say that, and then that translated in what you look for in another person. And when we see people with different filters and we judge another person because of what they said or because of how you remember them, you're missing out. You're missing out. We are missing out when we do that. And what I say here, there is no judgment. When I say you, it is for you who can connect to that, as well as for me. It's not about sitting, it's about sitting here and sharing with you. Sitting with you here and discovering with you. Sometimes it would be with another person, and sometimes it's just you and me. But it's sitting here and discovering. So, in these situations, in certain situations, sometimes you sell yourself short. You sell yourself short, you like give in to certain pressure. How many times you wanted to do something? You are in a relationship. You wanted to do something for yourself, just for yourself. And you didn't say so. You didn't say so several times. You know, you wanted to do one thing and you didn't say so because you were afraid that maybe the other person is going to say something that will judge you. So you didn't say that. But you really wanted to do that. You wanted to go out with a friend. You wanted to go just watch a movie by yourself. You wanted just to be with yourself. Or you wanted to do other things. And you just didn't say that. And then, one time, you know that sentence of that little straw that broke the camel's back. This is one time that is being said. One time that is one thing is said about the topic and everything flows out. And everything you cooped in because you didn't say, because you assumed something. Just flows out. And suddenly you look at situations and say, wow, I didn't know that this was such a big thing. And the other person is like, wow, this went out of proportion. And it really was just just another symptom, just another needle in that balloon. And eventually that little needle punctured that overstretched balloon and, flies all across the room, makes noise, and then falls down. And how do we deal with when we have this place of fear of something? How do we deal with this fear and chaos? I say, you look at opportunities, everything is an opportunity. Okay, well, how do you deal with that place of, and you don't realize it is even fear. You don't say something because you assume something, and we tell ourselves, oh, this is the story. We create the box. And we don't think even it could be fear. When we say, well, we don't want to do this for the other person, or we don't want to talk to the other person, or we don't want to get close because they do this, A, B, C, D. Okay, now we feel good about our decision. We don't feel guilty. We don't feel judgmental. We feel very righteous. Even that, what was the drive for that? Where did that come from? And this is also part of, on the other side of the disconnect, about the video and audio. Things turn out that today would be this way, and I feel I feel good about this because I realize that the video was a distraction. The video is a distraction. If we talk about our voice, if we talk about the words that we say. We have these senses, and each one is equally operating at first. Comes out of the factory many times, operating functionally right. And then over time, certain senses decline, sight, hearing. But when we hear something, and we add visual to it, the visual is distraction to the audible. And in certain situations, in this case at least, in my here, but in general too, when you listen to something, you're paying attention to the vibration, you're opening up to the vibration, you're opening up to the content, you're opening up to the space. You actually can imagine the space that I'm sitting here. You can draw the space in your head. You can use your imagination to draw the space in your head, to the space in which I'm at. Draw the space within your imagination to create something that is not given to you. Because when you see the video, You are blocking yourself. This is a filter. You're blocking yourself through the greater picture of your imagination. But that is the other side of the disconnect, of the connect through the less, through and limiting and keeping one sense heightened than the other, removing the obstacles of the eyes, removing the obstacle of what the earthly eyes see, removing the obstacles of what clouds the vision. What is the vision? What is your vision? What clouds that vision? What comes in between? Not to say that what comes in between is not good. Everything is good. It is the connection that we make that can co-create something that is not good. Like climbing a tree and the goal is to reach the top of that tree, the top of the trunk. And then we fancy this branch. Oh, look at this branch. It's a nice branch. It has different colors. Let me go on top of this branch, see what I find. Oh, look at the leaves. Look at the fruit there. Oh, let me sit here. Let me bring a little thing and I'll put here and I'll sit. I'll create a little sitting area. I'll just sit on a branch, you know. But it is a branch. And we spend time on these branches, on these beautiful branches, on these branches that are filled with beauty and shade and, oh, nice leaves. But it's a branch. It's a branch, and the branch is held by its trunk. And that branch is going to the side. And sometimes it's good to come back before that branch breaks. And so the focus, the goal, what is in our path that is distracting you from the goal, and fear and noise from the outside will distract your goal. And some people, unfortunately, but again, I say that even they are fulfilling their part in this creation. We are bound to say it's are fortunate that they do that. But then, if it is bound from the creation to be through them, then is it unfortunate or not? What I'm talking about is people who instill fear. It's people who instill fear in others. It's people that are, they're unaware of unhappy they are, and they instill fear in you. They instill fear in everybody else through the way that they know that. The Me Too movement that started right after Hollywood and Weinstein and all those people that were accused and found guilty and did what they did, they used their thing, their power or their shtick to coerce other people, to instill fear in other people. That is the one way. This other way that I'm talking about is instilling fear through the airwaves. We are here to, in this program, I'm here to co-create with you, to bring love, to instill joy, to have the beauty of everything, of every moment, of everything that you do, find the power. Other places will crawl you to hate other people, will instill fear in you towards others, will use the audience that listens to them devoutly to hate other people. There is I got today a video from about Rick Wiles. He's a pastor in Florida. At first, I thought I was going to play you the snippet of what he said, but I decided not to. You can listen to it. And he's talking about how the Jews are killing Christians. How everything that is happening in the U.S. is because of Jews. The whole thing that is happening with the impeachment is because of the Jews. Now, look. First of all, this is not a political thing. If you know me or you heard a little bit of the other programs, this is not about politics. And I never really talk about these things. But this is not politics. This is instilling fear based on you have to listen to this piece if you find that. And he talks about how the Jews are killing billions of Christians. That's what happened when Jews conquer countries. They kill billions of Christians. Now, he is known as an anti-Semite. But talking about that this is the core. So he is coming as a pastor of a Christian faith. So he comes from a place where he instills, technically he's supposed to instill love, right? But he instills the other thing. And he talks about things that are historically incorrect. And people listen to this. Now, I don't know what you may think or what you may, and I'm open to hear that. He's using sentences from that almost sound like from the book of Mein Kampf. Now, the reason I bring this up is because this is disconnect. This is a form, a very dangerous form of disconnect. And not just disconnecting with you, but causing fear and disconnecting in others. Something that is not based on anything except for what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of, Rick Wiles? Why are you so hateful? What is upsetting to you? You know, when you instill something or when you try to instill something in someone else's, it is only because you feel that there are less of you. So what are you afraid of? And what are you afraid of? I'm talking to you now. What are you afraid of to show your gifts? To show your godly given gifts? Because all the filters are just hiding who you truly are. So, with this, I send you for a wonderful week. I send you all the blessings and all the good things and the wishes and the beautiful and moments of awe and beauty to you. And for you to co-create this week, you with other, and you to create with yourself. Get up every morning, say thank you to God, thank you to the creation that you have eyes to open and see the colors. You have nose to smell the beauty of creation and of the plantation and the city. If you live in a city, you still smell. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm your host. I'm a spiritual mentor and a sound therapist working with frequencies and Tibetan poles to align you, to detox your energy field and to rejuvenate you, making you a place to receive, helping you coming to a place of being a receptacle to all the gifts that are here for you. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week. Leitot. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.